good to be back with you again, brothers and sisters. We appreciate those of you that join us each week to study God's Word. For the past 2 weeks, we've been examining the difference between the righteous and the wicked. And you know, we've been learning how to identify God's enemies. And God has enemies. We've always been taught that in the Bible. In the book of James, the 4th chapter and the 4th verse, it tells us the easiest way to recognize God's enemies. And we need to be able to recognize those enemies. The Word of God says that, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? So whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Those who love the world, who desire the things of the world, who enjoy the activities of the world, and the lust of the flesh, are friends of the world and enemies of God." The Apostle John says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That's pretty strong words. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." We see more and more evil in the world every day. I know that evil has always been in the world, but there was a time when I was growing up that evil was frowned upon. The church was an influence for good in society. Parents brought their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents corrected their children when they did wrong, and children had respect for their parents. Teachers taught their students moral values, and their students respected them. I knew that as soon as I got a spanking at school, I'd get another one when I got home. We saw in 1962, prayer in public schools ruled unconstitutional, and the following year, Bible reading was removed from our schools. This was the beginning of evil creeping into our society. Just 10 short years later, in 1973, abortion was legalized, declaring that women's bodies were more important than the living human beings that were inside them. This began the American Holocaust, the killing of nearly 60 million unborn babies, whose rights to life still are not recognized by our highest court. In the past 50 years, evil has grown in our society, grown like a snowball rolling downhill. But in the past few years, there seems to be an awakening happening. More and more of God's children are becoming aware of the growing evil. And I said more and more of God's children are becoming aware of it. More and more of God's true children are seeking a closer relationship with Him. Many have abandoned the apostate church and are starting home churches where worship is the focus and not worldly activities. We've already read what the Bible says about worldly things and where worldly people stand. Now, religious leaders who were silent when prayer and Bible reading were taken out of our schools and abortion was legalized are beginning to speak out against the growing evil. Patriotic citizens are standing up against a government that has been taking us in the wrong direction. But our work is just beginning. The fight against the evil enemies of God will not be an easy one. Satan will not give up without a fight, and we must be prepared. We must study the Scriptures and be in prayer, asking God for guidance as we engage in this spiritual battle. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." Part of that armor that Paul speaks of is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Our scripture text for today is Romans, the 8th chapter, the 10th through the 16th verse. You can turn there with me if you have your Bibles with you. If not, you can make a note of the scripture and read. Please go back and read that 8th chapter of Romans, the 10th through the 16th verse, and study it when you have a chance. The Apostle Paul says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin." He said, "If Christ be in you, The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus, He raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In verse 10, now Paul begins with the phrase, if Christ be in you. This is something that must be settled before we continue. It's important for you to know. Important that you know if Christ, whether Christ is in you or not. It's important for every child of God to know that he is truly a child of God. Paul tells us how we can know in the last verse of our text. Now listen. Verse 16 says this, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit that dwells within the child of God testifies to our spirit that we belong to God. We learn to recognize His voice. And you know, it's not an audible voice, but one that speaks to the heart. Jesus said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The sheep follow Jesus, for they know His voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from Him, for they know not the voice of strangers. God's children recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, and by that voice they know that they are the children of God. The Apostle John said in 1 John 4 and 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Only if Christ is in you will you be able to discern the truth. Paul continues in verse 10 to describe the difference in the child of God and the child of the devil. Paul says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. With the child of the devil, it's just the opposite. The body is alive and enjoys the lust of the flesh. The children of the devil love sin and darkness. They are not alive spiritually. They cannot commune with God. They hate God and they hate righteousness. You know, they don't want to do good. Those people don't want to do good. There's nothing you can say to them that will make them want what you have, a body that is dead to sin and alive spiritually. You have a body that has been crucified with Christ. Paul says in the 6th chapter of Romans, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. If Christ is in you, then your body has been crucified with him, and ye will not serve sin. The child of God is not condemned because of sin, but redeemed by Christ's blood, clothed in Christ's righteousness. Paul continues this in Romans 6, but now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life is a gift, a spiritual gift. Spiritual, brothers and sisters. So many people like to say that it is a gift, but you have to accept it. There is no comparison between a physical gift that you can stick your hand out and receive and a spiritual gift that you can't even see. How can you reach out and take something you can't even see? God bestows spiritual gifts on the children He adopted before the foundation of the world. You'll find that scripture in Ephesians chapter 1. The Holy Spirit doesn't ask permission to enter your heart. If you are a child of God, you have belonged to Him from the foundation of the world. Your destiny is to spend eternity with your Father, and you will know God as your Father when He sends the Holy Spirit to dwell within your heart. Now, God does not try to convert the devil's children. You will know that Christ is in you when you hear His voice. Only His sheep hear His voice, and by that voice they know they have eternal life. Paul says in verse 11, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." Jesus Christ died in a mortal body. He died a physical death. And the Spirit of God raised Christ from the dead. Paul likens this resurrection to the spiritual resurrection that takes place when the child of God is raised from the spiritual death Adam experienced in the garden. In Romans 8, verse 9, Paul says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." The Spirit of Christ that dwells in us is the witness we have that we belong to God. In verse 12 and 13, Paul says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." It is only by the Spirit that man can mortify. Now that's put to death the deeds of the body, the lust of the flesh. Without the Spirit of Christ, man can only live after the flesh. Now, brothers and sisters, if Christ is in us, we're changed. We don't love the world like we used to. We love the things of God. We are able to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." And we can recognize our brothers and sisters in Christ because we see those fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. The devil's children cannot produce these fruits. Verse 14 of our text in Romans 8 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So how do we know that the Spirit that is leading someone is the Spirit of God?" Remember, the Apostle John said, "If we are of God, we can know the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error." The Spirit of God will not lead His children to do evil. The Spirit of God is a spirit of light, not a spirit of darkness. And the last two verses of our text says this, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit which we receive from God is not a spirit of bondage. It does not create fear in us. It is the Spirit that frees us from our bondage and sin. Now in 1 John the 4th chapter and the 18th verse, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." God loves His children with a perfect love. It's the only perfect love in the universe. It casts out fear. It gives us peace, a peace that passes all understanding. The Spirit of God is a spirit of adoption. It testifies of our adoption in Christ. In Ephesians 1 and 5, Paul says that God has purposed us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. It is not our will that makes us children of God. It is God's will. And it is by His will that we are given the Spirit of God as a witness that we belong to God. Only God's Spirit can testify that we are one of His. It is a divine witness, faithful and true. The witness of a God that cannot lie. Our own spirits cannot witness to ourselves. Now listen to me. You know, that's a pretty strong statement, but this is true. The Bible And our scripture proves this. Our spirits cannot witness to ourselves. We cannot assure ourselves that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit must bear witness to our spirit. That's what the Bible says. Our own witness is based on the spirit of man, which is the spirit of the world. It can only testify of earthly things. The Holy Spirit's witness is a testimony of the work of a divine spiritual being. It's a testimony to our hearts. It changes the hearts. It enables us to produce the fruits of the Spirit, not works of the flesh. Paul contrasts the works of the flesh, which are of the devil, and the fruits of the Spirit, which are of God, in the 5th chapter of Galatians. Now, beginning with verse 19, Paul says, "Now the works of the flesh," this is in the 5th chapter, now of Galatians. You get a chance to read it, you go there and study it. And this is in verse 19, where the Apostle Paul talks about this. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Manifest, what does that mean? Manifest means easily understood by the mind, easy to recognize. The works of the flesh are easy to recognize, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are pretty strong words now, brothers and sisters. Those people who do the works of the flesh in this scripture we just got through talking about here, the Bible says they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Not because they do these things, but because they love the things of the world, and the love of the Father is not in them. That's what our scriptures say, brothers and sisters. But it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such thing there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. These two lists are a good place to begin examining of oneself. Which list applies more to you, brothers and sisters? Paul says in 2 Corinthians the 13th chapter and the 5th verse, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Now, reprobates are those who have no evidence of the Spirit of God in them. They are opposed to the elect of God. They are enemies of God. They are in the flesh, and they walk after the flesh. Now listen to what Paul says in the verses leading up to our scripture. And our text today is in Romans the 8th chapter now, and remember that. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Do you ever thought about that? Those that are in the flesh and make decisions, fleshly decisions, cannot please God. "But ye are not in the flesh," it says, "but in the Spirit." He's talking about his children. He's telling them that they are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. "If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Now, Paul is talking about the natural man here. He's talking about those who do not have the Spirit of God dwelling in them and live in the flesh and walk after the flesh. They cannot please God because they are carnally minded. And the carnal mind, what does the Bible say? The carnal mind is enmity against God. They don't understand the things of the Spirit of God because they don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. They cannot understand the gospel message. They cannot understand how God works His will in His own children, changing their hearts, filling them with love for their fellow man, causing them to hate evil and mortify the deeds of the flesh. Without the Holy Spirit, they are unable to understand spiritual things. So many of the people who have walked an aisle and repeated a prayer that the pastor told them to pray have left the church just as lost as they were when they entered. This is what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man," listen to what it says, "the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man has only the spirit of man. He can only testify to earthly things, physical things, but God's children can know spiritual things because the Spirit of God teaches them. Do you remember what Jesus told his disciples about the Comforter in John 14? He said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Now Jesus promised to send the Spirit of truth to God's children. He said that the world could not receive the Spirit of truth because they don't know him. But God's children know him because the Spirit dwells in them. That's the only way you can know God, is the Spirit must be placed there by God Almighty. The natural man is led by the Spirit of man, but the child of God is led by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. God's children must learn to hear the voice of the Spirit that is leading them. You know, it will lead them in all truth. It will not lead them astray. It will not lead them to do evil. Paul gives God's children instructions in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 15, he tells them to follow that which is good. And in the verses that follow, he gives them some good advice. In verse 16, Paul says, "Rejoice evermore." God's children have a lot to rejoice about. They have a Redeemer who paid with his own precious blood to have their sins put away as far as the east is from the west. Paul says in the first verse of Romans 8 now, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." God's children are not condemned now and never will be. That is something to rejoice about, brothers and sisters. In verse 17, Paul says, "Pray without ceasing." Now, you know, that doesn't mean to stay on your knees for the rest of your life, or fold your hands and bow your head, or go into your prayer closet and stay there forever. God is a spirit, and God's children, I've thought so many times about this as I travel in my daily activities, as I go about the things that I do each day. You know, God's a spirit, and God's children have his spirit. They can talk to him all day long. As they go about their business, then they can speak to him, and he speaks to them in that still, small voice, speaking to him with their hearts and their thoughts. The thoughts of one's mind can speak to God all day long. The Spirit of God is with his children everywhere they go, all day and all night. God never leaves them. You know, we can talk to him anytime, anywhere. When he brings people to mind that we haven't thought of in a long time, we can offer a prayer for them. A child of God should always have God on his mind, expecting instructions to pray for someone, to provide something someone needs, to talk to someone who is alone and needs a friend. There are a lot of things God gives his children to do every day. We need to learn to listen for that still, small voice and follow his instructions. In verse 18, Paul says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Does this mean we are to give thanks for the troubles and trials in our lives? Of course it does. Look at the first chapter of the book of James, verse 2 through 4. James says, "My brethren," he's talking to God's children, God's people, "my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." When we face troubles and trials, The trying of our faith worketh patience. Yes, God has things for us to learn by going through troubles and trials. We are to give thanks in everything, not just the good things. God teaches us by putting us through the fire, where He refines us as silver is refined. And when we come through the fire, we will be so shiny that Jesus can see His image in us. Whether we are on the mountaintop or in the valley, we must learn to be thankful for what God is teaching us. And remember, the Spirit of God will not lead us into temptation, but He will allow worldly temptation to teach us and bring us closer to Him. We must, as child of God, do as He says and be thankful in everything. And no matter how difficult things become, you can always look around and see someone who is suffering more than you are. Be thankful, brothers and sisters. Be thankful. Paul says in verse 19, quench not the Spirit. We must not neglect using the gifts the Spirit gives us to better serve God here in this world. You know, we must not ignore the leading of the Spirit. We must not become lukewarm and indifferent. We must not neglect prayer, studying God's Word, or being obedient. We must always be obedient. We cannot grow in grace if we quench the Spirit. We must learn to recognize the Spirit when it speaks to us and be responsive. Now, brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul here in verse 19, and you studied, you go look at it. He's talking to God's children. He says, quench not the Spirit. The only people that can quench the Spirit of God are those that have the Spirit of God already. But this scripture today is being used so many times to tell people that they are quenching the Holy Spirit by not accepting God or not accepting Christ. But this is not what is being said here. Quench not the Spirit. And that Spirit is the Spirit of God that belongs to God's children, the Spirit that they already have. And we must not neglect using the gifts of the Spirit that He gives us, gives His children here in this world. Now in verse 20, it says, despise not prophesying. The only prophecies that God's children had in Paul's day were the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the coming of the Christ. You know, if God's children compared these prophecies with the facts of Christ's coming, His birth, His ministry, His sufferings, His death, and His resurrection, they could easily see that the fulfilled prophecies are proof that God is faithful and true to His promises. That's what He talked about throughout the Old Testament. It was fulfilled in the New Testament with the coming of Christ. The fulfilled prophecies should strengthen our faith and relieve our fears of future prophecies. The persecution of the apostles and saints of God, the destruction of Jerusalem, the apostasy, and the return of Christ. From all signs, we can assume that we are living in the last days, but we must not despise prophecies. We must not fear what is to come. There is no condemnation for God's children. He will protect them as He did His remnant in Israel. Verse 21 is very important now. It says, prove all things. Hold on to that which is good. God wants His children to listen to the teaching and preaching of the Scripture and the doctrine. Then search the Scriptures and prove whether they are true. The Spirit of God dwelling in His children will show them what is true and what is error. The true doctrine glorifies God. False doctrine glorifies man. Is what you believe supported by Scripture, or does it contradict Scripture? Don't just believe what some man tells you. Prove it by the Scriptures. God expects us to search out the truth and hold fast to it. Finally, in verse 22, Paul says, abstain from all appearance of evil. God's children are not just called on to avoid doing evil. They are instructed to avoid the appearance of evil. Even the appearance of evil. They are to avoid compromising situations. Don't do or say anything that would give someone the opportunity to interpret it the wrong way. In doing that, no one will be able to suggest that anything improper is going on. This applies to all Christian men and women. Don't allow yourselves to get in a compromising situation. And you young people out there now, you may not drink or do drugs, but people will get the impression that you do if you fellowship with those who do drink and do drugs. Now, you remember that. Remember, it's not just evil itself that we must avoid. It's the appearance of evil that can cause as much damage to a Christian's reputation as actually doing those things of evil. As God's children, we must be able to recognize all enemies of God and avoid them. We must not do evil or speak evil, and we must avoid supporting anything the Bible calls evil, like murdering children in the womb and the abomination of sodomy. Even saying nothing against these things may give some people the impression that we approve of them. That's how evil has taken hold in our society, brothers and sisters, because good people said nothing and did nothing when our country was faced with the decisions of whether or not to take prayer and Bible reading out of schools, or whether or not to allow abortion, or whether or not to change God's definition of marriage. We must fight against evil. We must speak out against evil. If Christ be in us, we have the power to do anything the Holy Spirit leads us to do. Now I want you to remember what the Apostle John said. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I hope and pray that you are inspired and encouraged by these words now, brothers and sisters. May the Lord bless you as you study His Word and prove what is true. I pray that He be with you as you walk in the Spirit in this coming week and the rest of your lives.